Welcome to the Coaching DNA Podcast. I'm your host, Travis Wyckoff. I'm also the founder of Kingdom Coaching, my consulting business in which I coach leaders. This is part two of my conversation with Blake Arbogast. Blake is the head women's basketball coach at East Texas Baptist University. During part two, we discuss a really cool leadership success story, clarity with his staff, his hiring practices, what he brings to his program every day, and much, much more. Blake is a really good coach and total stud. So without further ado, my conversation with Blake Arbogast.
Yeah, that's really good. And then out of kind of what you're saying, your philosophy of not naming one captain, but seeing people thrive, do you have a story, or have you seen somebody that kind of comes out of the woodwork, almost somebody that you're like, wow, she all of a sudden has kind of some juice on this team. She all of a sudden has a little bit of a voice that is people are listening to. Man, she's turned into actually a really good leader. Have you had that experience?
New to us going into last offseason, but we had a young lady that she transferred to us last year. She was with us. She was a JUCO kid. Phenomenal person. If you know her heart, she's got a big shell up. If you ask her, she's afraid to be vulnerable. Last year, she was just worried about hoops. Yeah, so we went on a trip to Northern Ireland. We went on a mission trip, and she really kind of came out of her shell there. I think the big thing was just being able to spend time with the teammates and get to know them. But coming into this year, we had some new players that she didn't quite have that relationship with yet. And as the course of the year came, it was probably about, you know, going into December, where I think she finally was just like, I'm going to be so vulnerable and just be me, and it's going to be okay. And it was just so cool to see, because it's someone that has this hard shell that everyone knows and respects, but she's kind of poop in class. Like she never really had a relationship. And it was just so cool to see her just like pour into these young ladies as an upperclassman, you know, and really we were going into a game. I think it was Harden Simmons, who was number 9 in the nation at the time. And she was kind of having a rough go of it. And it was like a minute left in the game. She's sitting there and she's just like kind of discouraged. And it was the first time that she wasn't able to pour into other people, that she really needed people to pour into her. But without saying it, there were people that I probably thought, I've never really seen y'all hang out or anything, picked her up and was like, hey, you picked us up so many times this year. We got you. Come with us. And that was what was said in a huddle. And it was so cool to see. You know, as a coach, it's like, finally, look at that. Like, we're doing things for someone other than ourselves. And we're such, you know, it's bigger than basketball. And we went out and won, which was great. But, you know, just to see them do that. And then, just to tell you how good of a coach I am, she wasn't even starting at the time. And our other post player comes up and goes, Coach, Jayla deserves it. I'm willing to come off the bench. Like, we need her on the floor. She's our leader. And that was never a sign. And I think that was kind of what I was getting at with creating that atmosphere, creating those opportunities and not forcing it upon them one way or another. And it just formed. And then, you know, the second half of the semester was a great year for us. And it wasn't a coincidence. It was because she came out of that. And I don't think I would have ever assigned her as a captain or a leader. And there was no doubt at the end of the year, everyone, if you just asked them, if you came into my office and pulled all our girls, who's your leader? I guarantee you 18 of 18 would say Jayla Hall.
Yeah.
And that's just all because of what she did. And she never asked to be a leader. She never was assigned a leader. She became it. And, you know, we actually ended the year pretty well. And so I think that's an example, as you asked, of just someone coming out that I may not have thought of, just being in those environments and understanding the importance and the impact. And not only that it made on our team, but it probably made on Jayla. You know, she's wanting to be a nurse and go into nursing, and, you know, Lord willing, she makes the same impact on all those patients, because that is not a career for me. But I know for a fact when she walks across that stage and she's out there, she's got all the qualities it takes to go make an impact in this world. So,
yeah, dude, that's a great story. Thanks for sharing that. I so agree with that. Like, man, you just never know who's going to thrive and flourish, specifically in this area of leadership. If you put a lid on people, if you name, this is, you know, because essentially you're not, you would never say this, but I think a lot of times it's, this is our leader, you're not, follow her. Right. You never say it that way, but that can often be the assumption. And I think you and I have talked about this, the upside there, it feels like there's only a downside to naming a captain. Because if it goes well, it's like, cool, they were probably going to lead anyways. If it doesn't go well, it's like, dang, this sucks. We named the one person captain. It's a downside. There's no upside to naming a captain.
Yeah, I've experienced that. I've experienced that. And, you know, I don't think it was fair to the athlete that I named captain, because I don't know that she was ready for that. And I don't know what her following really looked like. So I've been on both ends. And I think that's the beauty of experience as well, is not only learning what works and what fits, but also that one might need to go back into the trash, and let's not look at that one, you know? So yeah. I've experienced both personally. For me, I think creating that environment of allowing everyone that opportunity to grow, you're ultimately empowering leaders just in college athletics in general. So why not do that in all aspects of your program? And I think that's what's been good for me. And again, I know everyone's different, but I've had some success with that in the short term. So hopefully I can continue to build on that.
Well, I think you just bring up a really good point that sometimes coaches overlook, is when you name a captain, again, it could go great. But my contention is leaders are going to lead, whether leaders are leaders, they're going to thrive. One of the biggest things maybe is you put somebody in a position to just not have success. When you name a captain and it doesn't go well, it's like, dude, that's not on her, or that's not on him. That's on you as a leader, putting her or him in a position that they weren't ready for. So I think that's a really, good point. Okay, let's talk staff. Let's very generally would love to just hear. Let's go back to the season. You're in season. I'm gonna meet every single day at a certain time. Are you very organic? Like, hey, when anyone gets in, let's huddle up. What's that look like as you just lead your staff?
Yeah, I think we're definitely more of the kind of fit where we can. There has been times going ahead of where it's like, all right, hey, these next couple weeks look like this schedule wise. So let's meet Monday mornings at 9 a.m. to where we can talk through the week, because it's going to be hectic weeks, right? But we typically, because we have, you know, I say a bigger staff for small schools. We also have two teams in that developmental program. So there's kind of two seasons going on, right? So we typically kind of work organically where it's like, hey, what's this look like? Hey, we need to meet at, you know, 11:30 on Tuesday or whatever. So that changes, but we do have pretty consistent staffs, meetings and topics, just to make sure we're all on the right page. Sometimes it's looking up like, hey, we're going on two big trips. Like this year we flew to Virginia, 3 days later flew to California. So before that, it was just making sure all our ducks were in a row. A lot of times it's maybe me needing feedback from my staff. I have a staff of three females. So a lot of times the players are going to feel a little more comfortable, one, going to the assistant coach, two, going to females about certain things. So I like getting updates and trying to be creating an environment and an atmosphere amongst our staff to be a together group as well is important. Because if we're not together, and that's life too, I want to know what they're going through. I want to know their goals. I want to know what's good, what's bad, you know, if something happened at the house or whatever, you know, like we got to be completely together to set that example. So it's not every Monday at 9 or whatever, but we meet frequently. We talk and I need feedback from my staff, whether it's, hey, should we move on? Should we stay here? Or just whatever that looks like, situational.
Sure. Okay, so I'm going to give like a scale. You've on one end of the scale, you've got like the leader who has roles and responsibilities down to the minutia. On the other end, you have the leader who has who kind of just throws says, "Hey, you're going to work with, you're going to help with recruiting and work with Biggs." Or you're going to work with Biggs, and I need you to make sure you're getting all the equipment in. And it's very, just very general, kind of like figure stuff out. Where do you land on that, like ultra, ultra organized, detailed, unbelievable clarity versus very adaptable, very nuanced?
Yeah, we're going to go this way. That's probably an area of weakness of mine. Like I mentioned, when I took over the program, I felt like this internal pressure where I'm the head coach. I can't mess this up. I, right? So I've gotten better at delegating some things, but it's very much like one of my coaches in the exit meetings this year was like, "Coach Jay, I need the detailed everything over here." So I think I'd probably about right in the middle, maybe even a little more to the adaptability of you know, my top assistant has been with me all 4 years as being head coach. So this year it was like, you take ownership in all this. Like you help with the recruiting. You have the guards. You're in charge of academics. Boom. You have those. You got it. I'm trusting you with that. And in one sense, it's not a bad thing or a good thing. It's just, I want my staff to learn and grow and take ownership in their work and have that confidence because I want them to be goal driven to be a head coach someday.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully I'm empowering them as well by doing that. But there are times too where it's like, probably need to let's go more towards a six instead of being like a four or a three.
Yeah.
Let's get more that way because I think everybody needs to know clarity on what my expectations are. And I think that's just me being vulnerable on this podcast is that's an area of weakness of mine that I'm still learning and trying to navigate through. So,
yeah. Hiring, you've made several hires. Obviously, you know, your top assistant has been with you all 4 years, but you've had some other hires that you've needed to make, the second assistant, GA, all that. Maybe walk us through, you have a staff opening, walk us through your process.
Yeah. I think each position has a little bit different approach just because some's entry level, some are different expectations. For me, let's just start with the GAs. With our GAs, I want someone that wants to coach, like someone that is passionate, someone that wants to get into this career field because that's my way of giving back to someone giving me an opportunity. So I want them to come in and, you know, a lot of times, especially I was guilty of this. It's like, oh, I'm going to have these plays and I'm going to have all this. You find out very quickly that GA's roles are not really much X's and O's.
Right.
So just trying to develop them that like, here's what this is going to look like with us. We do have that developmental program. So our GAs, the reason I want someone to coach is they become the assistant of that developmental program. So they kind of have two hats. They're the GA for the varsity. They're the head assistant for our developmental, if you will. So it's a great opportunity, but with that comes great responsibility. And I need someone that understands and is passionate, but it is an entry level, right? It's a grad assistant for someone to get an opportunity while also getting a good degree. So that's kind of the approach there. I'm looking for someone that's a good fit. Typically, I like to give it back to someone that is familiar with the program or what we stand for, but sometimes that doesn't always open that door. So like this coming year, I have the chance to hire one of our graduating players from this year to be our GA, which is great. Years past, I've had the luxury of bringing outside people in that didn't really know much about our conference, and they brought great value. We've had a Division I player that came in and was phenomenal in certain areas and needed growth. And I think in her time here, she learned and grew, and now she's an assistant. And they're doing good things. And then this year, we brought in someone that was from Texas that went out to South Carolina, played Division II, and she brought a whole different level of just perspective into it, which was great. She brought a great energy, which is what my staff needs out of that position, and just really brought this like head down. I want to learn. I want to be a coach. What do I need to know? And shoot me straight, and I can appreciate that. So She's going to be leaving us, and I'm excited to kind of see her journey, because if anyone's needing somebody, she's that person. So that's what we look for in the GA, just someone that's willing to want to coach and understand that it's not just a GA spot just to get through a master's program. I want someone to actually coach. My other assistant is another entry level, and it's, you know, depending on how my staff looks, there are specific things that I want out of that. Whether it's this year, my second assistant is a former player, and she's one of the better ones that have come through this program in a long time. So with that, it's like, man, I love that, because this place means something to her, and that, and it just overflows with passion on what ETBU is. So she does a good job helping us with recruiting, because it's like she was in their shoes. But also she's the head coach of that developmental program as well. So again, those younger entry level positions on my staff are very much experience. You're going to get a lot of different hats, a lot of different experience, but you're going to have to be someone that's ready to grind and work, because it is a lot. And that's what I need out of those positions. And then our top assistant has been with me for 4 years. And that one is someone that needs to be sharper than me, better than me, challenging me. Like, I don't want to be the smartest one in the room. I want to have that impact of, if I come in the office and I'm not performing, I'm losing my job to my assistant. That's what I want out of that. But she or he has to be my most trusted person on this campus. So yeah. That's what I look for as far as the people and the type of person. And then the roles kind of differentiate with the strengths of my staff. My top assistant has to be in sync with me recruiting wise. She's got to have to be kind of our quote unquote recruiting coordinator, letting us know where we're going, where we're at, who I need to call, all that stuff. So, yeah. That's a big piece for me.
That's good. Where have over the last, if you compare, three years ago to today, where are you better?
I think I'm better in clarity, you know, just defining roles, not only to my staff, not only to my players, but just clear cut communication clarity. It's still a work in progress, but that is something I've definitely have grown in, but also was not very good coming into this. It was very much I would communicate something, come back in the office and be like, I didn't even understand that, you know? So like, how can I expect them to? So I think that's probably the biggest thing over the last 2 or 3 years for me that I would hope I've improved in. I've tried. Because I don't think if you clearly define specific roles for staff or expectations for players, or if you know how to communicate that properly in a thoughtful, intentional way, I mean, I can sit there and say, hey, go be tough today. Okay, well, this girl thinks I'm going to go punchline. This one thinks I'm, you know, not crying today or whatever that is. Clearly defining what that is and my expectation. I think also with that, having clarity of what this program is going to stand for will help in a lot. And that's where I came up short a couple years ago. And I think that's where I'm continuing to grow. But I think I've shown improvement in that area.
It's great. What is the most important thing you bring to the program each and every day?
I think that's a great question. I think what I bring to this program every day is going to be that intentionality of, there's no doubt someone walks away from me and they know I care about them. Just being intentional in that. And that's the thing that every single day, coming in and knowing that I care about this program and I care about the individuals in this program. I don't know if that's really a defined answer of what you're looking for, but that's, yep. There's no doubt. I think I walk in here and the good days, bad days, whatever. It's like, we're going to work today, but everything I'm going to do is to care for you. And I tried to define that and make sure everyone in this program knows that. And that goes to the bus drivers that drive us. We have a guy named Mr. George that has been driving women's basketball as long as I know, 5 years when I was an assistant. So just knowing it's not, hey, appreciate you driving us. Man, how's your day? How's your life? How's that? I think is something I bring to this program, no doubt. I would fall on that for sure. So
yeah, no, I love it. You know, I've had, I don't always ask that question, but over the last couple years, I've asked it a handful of times. And one, there's no right or wrong answer, but there's been answers like, man, I got to bring energy. Like I need to bring intensity, whatever. And you say, I need to bring, you know, basically relationship / care for people. And I heard I don't know if it was just like a poll that was done, but the number one thing that athletes, let me think how this went. The number one thing that athletes want in their coach is to know that they care about them. And so to your point, it right away when you said that, I'm like, bingo, that's so huge, so important.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what I'm trying to, you know, I think there's no doubt that I do bring that. You know, when you first asked that, I even thought about maybe passion to this program is something I bring. And I don't know if those two can go hand in hand, but I'd have to think on that more, truthfully. I think that's a great question that gets me really evaluating. Instead of just answering this question off the top of my head, maybe I have to think about it a little more and be like, this is what I want to bring, but is it what I'm actually bringing?
Yeah.
Because I think that's important too. Again, self-reflection and being self-aware is huge, not only as players, but definitely as coaches and a head coach of your program. So I do care deeply about everybody in here, but I don't know if I bring that every day now that you say that. So,
yeah, love it. Okay, I end with three questions. The first question is, what are you currently reading or listening to that's helping you stay sharp?
So this isn't a coincidence, but it is a shout out right here.
Come on.
I don't know if y'all can see that.
I don't release I don't release it's a little video, blurry. Just the audio. So
yeah. Oh, come on. Leadership Greenhouse by Travis Wyckoff, right there. Is actually what I'm diving into. Starting this spring break. So I started it yesterday. You know, I went through it once, but now that I've just finished a season, I think it brings a lot of value. So that's actually what I'm going through currently. So it's kind of ironic, but
dude, yeah, I appreciate you reading it, by the way. Seriously.
Do what?
I appreciate you reading it, by the way. Seriously.
No, man, it's great stuff. It's great stuff. So anyone that is looking for something, it's a quick read. Leadership Greenhouse, Travis Wyckoff.
Love it.
Need right there.
What are you, one in general, are you a reader or do you lean more podcast? What's your,
I think podcast, and I typically do it if I'm going to get it in the morning when I run or work out. I used to be big music and all that, but podcast as of the last probably year or two. Reading, I can't sit still and read. I don't know what it is. So like short reads are better for me to actually, okay, I can do this. If it's a thick book, sorry about you. But yeah. No, podcasts are good. Again, I want to, you know, learn a lot of different things through podcasts. You can hear from different people that may have experienced what you're doing, not only just coaches. I mean, you can learn from business people. You can learn from, you know, people who have gone through trying times in life. You know, I heard a podcast on a young man that made an incident and went to jail and he's serving 25 years in life, but he's just talking about how good the Lord has been through that. So, you know, spiritual aspect, but yeah, definitely podcast over reading. But if I'm going to read, it's going to be a short read and it's probably going to take me a long time.
Dude, I wrote the book. My best friend once told me, he said, I'm basically illiterate during the season and during the recruiting part of our year. So Literally when I wrote that book, I'm writing that book for guys just like that are like, dude, no shot am I about to read a 300 page book.
Yep.
But I'll read a 80 page book.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Love it.
Yeah. No, that's where I'm at with that. So
sweet. Okay. What advice would you give a young person just getting into the coaching profession?
Be true to yourself. I think
flesh that out a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you're getting into the profession and someone has given you an opportunity, have confidence in that someone saw something in you. Mm. And not second guess or doubt, but literally trust in yourself and what you're doing. I think if you're an assistant or just in general, put your head down and go to work. You know, learn everything, even if it's something that you may not really understand or know or agree with, learn it, because the more you know the ins and outs of the game and stuff makes you more marketable. And every day is an interview. Someone once told me that, you know, if I'm a head coach, I'm still the way I present myself, the way I walk around, the way I lead my program. Someone is looking at that, and you never know who that someone is. So every day is an interview, and it's a 24-hour contract every single day. Whether that's an assistant, GA, manager, player, husband, you know, wife, whatever that is, like, that's a life lesson. But definitely in this career field, trust in yourself, but keep your head down and make sure if you're on an interview, are you putting your best foot forward? And you got to do that every single day, no matter how crappy of a day you had or the night before or whatever. Show up, make an impact to those that see you and are around you, because that'll take you a long way.
Love it. So good. And lastly, who would you like to hear talk about their journey, their leadership, how they run their program? Yeah. Who would you like to hear talk about?
Yeah. So there's two people. I'm not sure. You know, Rusty Rainbolt would be someone great to have on here. I think you've had him maybe once early on or a while back. And then people are going to give me a hard time about this, but Kendra Whitehead at Hardin-Simmons University. And that coach is doing something great, and she does it the right way. And, you know, that's someone that I look at and like, man, I got to learn from her, because she not only has had success, but she has players coming back and speaking on her. So I think Kendra Whitehead at Hardin-Simmons University would be a great one to have on here and just dive into that. She's got tons of experience. She's been different places, and she's made an impact to me, and I've coached against her, and I've been on the wrong end of the scoreboard to her, but just the way she handles things and approach things, you know, I have high respect for, and a lot of people have high respect for. So I think that would be a great one to have on. Not sure how that would work out for you, but that's someone that if I'm you, I'm trying to get in contact with.
Love it. I'm doing it.
Do it.
Dude, Blake, thanks so much. You're a stud. Appreciate you taking time. Yeah, man, I'm grateful. I've learned a lot from you. Although we haven't been around each other much in the last 6 to 9 months, learned a ton from you. And yes, obviously, super, super bright future. So yeah, thanks for your time.
Appreciate you having me. Anytime, Travis. We'll get in touch soon.